am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. If I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd.
Before I share some thoughts from this passage, I just briefly want to say something to the kids in Dutch. It won't be translated, I'm just informing them what's going to happen. Jongens en meisjes, ik ga nu zo meteen even in het Engels wat vertellen aan de grote mensen. En over 10 minuutjes ongeveer, dan ga ik weer even iets Nederlands, iets zeggen tegen jullie. Want het gaat over de goede herder. Nou, daar weten jullie natuurlijk heel veel van. Maar ik denk dat ik vandaag iets nieuws ga vertellen wat jullie nog niet weten over de goede herder. Maar dat ga ik dus straks doen en dan doe ik het weer in het Nederlands. Maar nu mogen jullie weer eventjes lezen of iets anders doen. Right. The Good Shepherd. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. It's a well-known belief for and very popular for Christians. Christians learn about Jesus as the Good Shepherd at a very early age already. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures, gives his life that we may have it to the full. But because the metaphor of the sheep and the shepherd and the flock is not related to our daily life, it can easily put us into a consumer mode. He cares for me, the Good Shepherd. He looks after me. I don't need to be afraid. He feeds me, and where there is a shortage of water, he will lead me to streams of living water. Beside the green pastures, obviously. And we love it. We love Jesus as the Good Shepherd, caring for us, and we as consumers just receive everything what he gives to us. But if we read about the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10, that's not the way the metaphor is used by Jesus. What we read above all in the passage that Birgitta just read is that there are a lot of thieves and robbers and hired hands. We read that in the verses 8, in 10a, 12 and 13. So the context of the Good Shepherd is it's either the Good Shepherd leading the flock or these are thieves and robbers and hired hands. That's the context. Now, to understand a little bit more about the metaphor that Jesus is using, you have to go to Ezekiel chapter 34. John 10, you would think that John 10 is inspired by Psalm 23. But no, it is first of all inspired by Ezekiel 34. Above all, Jesus is fulfilling the prophecy of Ezekiel 34. And that's why he reads this. So often you think, oh, you need to be very learned to understand all these passages and to know all the background. But more important even than knowing all the background and the use of these metaphors is to know your Bibles. You don't need to be a theologian to know what I'm going to explain to you. You just need to know your Bible. You need to know, right, John 10, Ezekiel 34. How can you find out? Just in your Bible computer, just type Good Shepherd or Shepherd, and you'll find Ezekiel, a whole chapter on the Good Shepherd. Right, if we read the first couple of verses in Ezekiel 34, we read the following. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. It goes on, and then later on, it's about the Good Shepherd. I'll come back to that in just a moment. But when we read about the not good shepherds, or in Jesus, in the words of Jesus, the thieves, the robbers, the hired hands, we realize that they regard the sheep as economic entities. They are used for their own benefit. The sheep, they need to produce wool, they need to produce meat, and in order to produce wool and meat, they need to be consumers, and they need to get the good land, and so that they will produce a lot of wool and meat for me. The shepherds in Israel misuse the sheep. Just like Jesus talking about the thieves and the robbers and the hired hands. Producers and consumers. And when we learn this from Ezekiel chapter 34, then the metaphor and Jesus the Good Shepherd over and against the thieves and the robbers, it becomes very relevant for us today, because we live in a day and age where there is a lot of pressure on us, all of us, to produce. You need to work more, you need to study more, do another course, you really need to work harder. I mean, nowadays we live in a society where there's so much pressure on producing as never before in history. So many young people have burnout and stressed because of all the pressures, need to produce more and more. But we're also caught in consumerism. Today it's a big issue. Carbon oxide and all the environmental problems all can be all related to the consumerism that has gone to the extreme. Well, I'm going to talk to the boys and girls now. Birgitta, are you comfortable to translate me from Dutch into English? Thank you very much. Off you go. Jongens en meisjes, ik wil jullie iets vertellen over reclame.
Boys and girls, I want to tell you something about advertising.
Die kom je overal tegen.
You find it everywhere.
Ook als je naar een kinderprogramma kijkt op YouTube of op de televisie.
Also if you watch a children's program on YouTube or the TV.
Overal reclame.
Advertising is everywhere.
Maar nou moet je niet schrikken wat ik nou ga zeggen.
Don't get frightened by what I'm going to tell you now.
Weet je, reclame lijkt heel vaak op wat de Bijbel noemt dieven en rovers.
Advertising very often looks like what the Bible says is thieves and robbers.
Dat ga ik je een beetje uitleggen.
I'm going to explain that to you now.
Weet je, als je iets in reclame ziet, dan zeggen ze, als je dit koopt, dan word je heel gelukkig.
If you see advertising and it says if you buy this, you're going to be very happy.
Nou, dat zeggen ze natuurlijk niet echt.
They're not really saying that, of course.
Want dan zou je denken, dat is helemaal niet waar.
Well, that's not really true.
Nee, maar weet je hoe de reclame dat doet?
Do you know how the advertisers do that?
Hebben ze bijvoorbeeld iets heel moois, een of andere mooi speelgoed of een knuffel?
Very nice toy or a soft little bear or something.
En dan zie je er rondomheen allemaal kinderen die juichen van wow!
And around that toy you see all little children jumping and happy.
Dus eigenlijk zegt het plaatje, als je dit hebt, oh, dan word je zo gelukkig en blij.
So what the picture is saying, if you've got this toy, boy, you're going to be happy.
En de Bijbel noemt ze eigenlijk dieven en rovers, want als je het koopt en je hebt het, dan is het wel even dat je blij bent, maar de volgende dag is het eigenlijk weer heel gewoon. En dan ben je eigenlijk helemaal nog niet meer gelukkig.
The Bible calls it thieves and robbers because if you buy it, you're very happy. But the next day, you're not that happy anymore. The newness is not there anymore.
Weet je, reclame belooft iets wat ze niet kunnen geven.
Do you know, advertising promises something they cannot give you.
Ze beloven, als je dit hebt, dan word je gelukkig.
They promise you, if you've got this, you're going to be happy.
Maar de volgende dag, dan heb je het gekocht. Zij zijn rijk geworden, want je hebt het geld uitgegeven. Maar jij bent nog even hetzelfde als voordat je het hebt gekocht.
The next day you've bought it, they've become rich because you've spent your money, but you're not that happy.
Weet je, en nou over Jezus de goede herder.
And now about Jesus the good shepherd.
Want het verhaal over Jezus de goede herder, dat is het verhaal over of Jezus de goede herder, of de dieven en de rovers.
It's either the story of Jesus the good shepherd or about the thieves and the robbers.
Jezus is precies het tegenovergestelde, precies anders als die dieven en rovers.
And Jesus is the total and exact opposite of all the thieves and the robbers.
Hij wil niet jouw geld zodat hij rijk kan worden.
He doesn't want your money so that he can be rich.
Maar hij was superrijk en hij is heel arm geworden.
He was very rich and he's become poor.
Weet je, hij komt om jou rijk te maken.
He has come to make you rich.
Niet met speelgoed.
Not with toys.
Maar met vergeving.
But with forgiveness.
Niet met mooie spullen.
Not with nice stuff.
Maar hij komt om jou rijk te maken door jou te leren wat het is om een vriend te zijn voor iemand anders.
He makes you rich by teaching you what it is like to be a friend for someone else.
En dat maakt pas echt blij.
And that gives you real joy.
Nou, als je denkt, ik heb nog wel een paar vragen daarover. Ik snap het nog niet helemaal.
If you think, I've got a couple of questions, I don't quite understand it. I'd like to know some more.
Mag je straks aan papa en mama verder vragen of na de dienst even naar mij toe komen. Dat mag ook.
Then just now you can ask your mom and dad or you can come and talk to Pastor Gilbert and ask him the question.
Thank you very much, Bridget. Well done. Thanks very much. Goed. Jesus is the good shepherd. We read that in John chapter 10, verse 10b and 11. In Ezekiel, we read it in 34, the verses 11, in 16, and in 23. the Lord says, I am going to do away with these bad shepherds, the thieves and the robbers, and I'm going to lead my flock. Even, yes, I will appoint David as the good shepherd. And John 10 is the fulfillment of that prophecy, even Ezekiel 34, verse 23. Jesus is the good shepherd because he doesn't treat sheep as economic entities, but he knows his sheep. He knows his sheep and he calls them by name. Jesus gives his life for the sheep. So totally different from the thieves and the robbers that are all around us today. So in closing, what to do in a world that is ruled by economic gain, where people are regarded as producers and consumers? You know, we need each other to see how we have become slaves of modern economy. We cannot just leave the world and the culture and live an isolated life. We're part of this culture. But as Christians, we should be critical on our culture and help and support each other. That's why we're starting small groups in September. We need to get ideas. All right, should I do more, another course, another training, more work? Is it really necessary, or is it slavery, economic slavery? Christians are called to be content with enough, knowing that true and lasting satisfaction comes by listening and following the Good Shepherd. So perhaps it's helpful if we remind ourselves and each other of the thieves and the robbers, and do it playfully, because it's not easy. We're all stuck in this, me included. We're all stuck in this society where it's all about production and about consumerism. So maybe one day when you go to the shop and you see your friend buy a new pair of trousers, you could say, are you suffering from thieves and robbers again? Because you have already a few more pair of jeans, haven't you? Right. It's good to help us remind ourselves and each other. Are we suffering from thieves and robbers? Do we really need to buy something? Do we really need to do an extra course? And is that really going to make us happy? If we go to the Good Shepherd, he's the only one who can satisfy all our needs. So confess that we have been tempted by the thieves and robbers of this age. And sometimes we ourselves are a thief and a robber, using others for our own benefit. Lord, forgive us our silly consumerism. Forgive us when we have regarded other people as a means for our own benefits. Lord, forgive us our sins. So that's where we should start. If you think you're not enslaved to the economy today, probably you have to look in the mirror or talk to each other. And don't compare yourselves to somebody else who's living a more luxury life than you do, and you think, oh well, he's the slave of economy, but I'm not. Forget it. Whenever you buy something, whenever there's more pressure on you to produce, think about, all right, is it really necessary? Is the Lord asking me to do this? Can for everything I buy, can I really say thanks to the Lord when I go shopping to the supermarket? And I've spent 40 euros in the supermarket. Can I go be at home and then say, thank you, Lord, that I could spend 40 euro in the supermarket. Thank you. Or is there something there in the basket that you thought, I don't dare to give him thanks because I don't really need it. So first, confession. Secondly, and lastly, listen to the good shepherd. And that's not easy. Listening to the good shepherd is more than knowing your Bible. It takes time to listen. It takes time to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Sometimes people come to me and say, I find the Bible so difficult and it doesn't really speak to my heart. And more I realize that my answer should not be yes, but it's a difficult book and you need each other and you need people to help you explain and use this translation and go to the internet and you'll find and that or go take this daily bread or things, all these kind of suggestions. I think excellent anyway, but that's not the heart of the problem. I believe the heart of the problem of those of you who suffer of not really enjoying the time with the Lord and the Bible, the heart of the problem is that it's so hard to take time, to make time. And before you open your Bible, go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I desire to hear your voice. That even though I read a familiar passage, that it will be new to me, that you will speak to my heart. I open my heart because I want to hear you. I want to hear you apply the Word of God to my life. It's not about the head, it's about the heart. Holy Spirit, will you touch me when I open this Word of your, this precious Bible, and speak to my heart? I believe that is the heart of the matter. And when you struggle in Bible reading, this is where you should start. And we need support of each other. The sheep of the Good Shepherd listen to his voice. And then they receive life to the full. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for the Good Shepherd. I invite Noldy and her team to come forward. And they're going to lead us in a song in response. Psalm 23, obviously, by Keith Green.
And I will dwell in the house. prepare is the table before me, the presence of my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul.
Invited now to give to the Lord some of the money that is His, and that we